98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
The top stories of the day all conveniently crammed into one spot. We call it the 4 o'clock reset, where we update you on all the top stories and our reactions to the top stories of the day in the world of sports. And we start with 10-game road trip for the Arizona Diamondbacks set to begin in mere moments. We'll keep you updated on the game. Robbie Ray gets the start, the first of three against the Atlanta Braves. Troy Lovello telling us earlier he had this road trip circled for a while now.
You always circle a few road trips for the year, and this was one that I had seen, and it stuck out to me. It was going to be a three-city tour against two playoff teams, tough venues to play in. The third had a tremendous year and finished pretty strong last year. So I knew that this was going to be a little bit of a challenge.
Pretty good Braves team they're taking on tonight. And Robbie Ray, see if he can go any further than five innings.
And if he can't, we're just going to have to live with it, because that seems to be just, you know, we got to stop wishing for something. Interesting series. Dansby Swanson's killing it right now. He's got 18 RBIs. He leads the team. You're going to see Tuki Toussaint, who did not make the Braves' initial 25-man roster out of spring. He got called up on Saturday against the Mets, pitched like six great innings, and now he's going to get a start against the D-backs. So couple of former D-backs in Tuki Toussaint and Dansby Swanson, and their NCRT as well.
Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, 4 years, $140 million contract extension. It includes a $65 million signing bonus. Just the bonus is $65 million. The guaranteed money is like $107 million. Russell Wilson, the deal was struck middle of the night last night, like 11:30 at night.
Then he went to sleep.
How do you get
$65 million and then go to sleep?
Right before he went to sleep, he sent out a Twitter video of him and his wife, Sierra, in bed. Nothing dirty, just laying there in bed, right?
We should all send out Twitter messages tonight.
From our bed.
From our beds with our significant others.
In
our very white voice.
Here's what it sounded like.
Hey, Seattle, we got a deal.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. I'm going to see y'all in the morning.
Good night.
It's time for y'all to go to bed.
Finally, you can go to sleep.
See y'all in the morning.
No, that's not weird at all.
Yeah, we should all do the video tonight.
Got it together, didn't we?
Little Barry White here, yeah.
How many listeners do you think we lost just now?
Playing Barry White.
Putting this on his Spotify.
Playing Russ Wilson.
Talking about the suggestion that we should all tweet out from bed tonight. Hey, baby.
Crank that up, Jordan. That's good music right there.
Hey, baby. Lying here in bed tonight. My wife is watching Property Brothers, and I'm about to fall asleep.
Does he not sound like Barry White?
Good night, everybody.
That's super world.
The good part's coming up right here.
Nobody but you.
Nobody but you.
And me.
That was Russell Wilson last night. Meanwhile, this news, there was a fake, although it has been confirmed to be a fake. There was a Twitter account that was released, that was created today. Somebody apparently who had inside information as to what the NFL schedule was going to be. It comes out tomorrow, okay?
Right, tomorrow 5 o'clock.
Tomorrow 5 o'clock. But he or she was leaking out individual games on this Twitter account that they had created.
Okay.
They just posted a message. Well, this was fun. This account isn't actually real. I just was bored and wanted to hype some people up for the schedule release tomorrow. I had zero followers on this account. Now I'm at 6,000. If y'all want, y'all can stay. I might turn this account into a football meme account. He was faking people out for the better part of 2 hours, putting fake football
games
out there.
Social media is a dangerous place.
It is indeed.
It is a dangerous place.
Steve Wyche on the NFL Network. Kyler Murray is not visiting Washington.
He's no longer going to be visiting the Washington Redskins. He was supposed to be visiting there sometime during the next 2 days. That supposedly is now off. That either leans more to the decision of him possibly going to Arizona or maybe Washington getting involved in the Josh Rosen trade conversation.
What does it mean that the visit to Washington is now off for Kyler Murray?
I don't know. I'm trying to find out. Why no visit to Washington?
Doesn't mean
I'm asking. Trust me, I'm asking. You gotta
find out?
Well, we just got to open it to speculation.
What's your speculation?
Well, it could mean that the Cardinals told him, no, you don't need to take that visit. It could mean that Washington thought they were going to move up and decided now they're not going to. It could be that Washington was just going to use the visit to try to extract information from Kyler Murray about what the Cardinals' plans were, and that the agent said, no, we're not going to do it. I mean, there's 100 different reasons why he might have turned it down or why it might have gotten canceled, but the bottom line is we didn't really know why he was making the visit in the first place.
It didn't make sense at 15 unless they were trading up to 3 with the Jets.
Yep. But our top story of the day, Steve Keim, press conference today. No, we have not made a decision as to what we're going to do at number one overall.
Before I get started today, guys, I want to say a few things. Number one, we are not done with this process. We have not made a decision on the first overall pick. All right? Secondly, there are a number of players, in my opinion, and our scouts' opinion, and our coaching staff's opinion, that warrant being the first overall selection. Have we received calls about trading for the first pick or any of our players? Those are the sort of things that I'm going to keep private and in-house.
Sounds like a direct response to, hey, the whole world thinks we're taking Kyler Murray and we're not going to take any of these other guys and we haven't made up our minds yet. Now, does anybody buy it? Does anybody believe they haven't actually made up their minds as to what they're going to do? It's hard to believe with the draft a week and 2 days away.
I'm going to see if you could read into something.
Okay.
So Washington does not have a visit with Murray now, right?
Right. That's being reported, yes.
Okay. And the coach of Washington is?
Jay Gruden.
And his brother is?
Sorry, I just went evil laugh there. So you're saying John called Jay and said, don't bother?
There's something there.
The game is afoot, is what you're saying? The game is afoot.
You just blew my mind.
You don't need to have a visit with him. We're taking him at 4. We're moving up to 1 to get him. You don't need to.
Don't bother. Don't waste your time.
Don't bother. Don't waste your time.
You're not.
Jay Gruden, John Gruden, brother. Okay. Huh? Okay. Listen, you want to connect some dots? I'm going to connect some dots for you.
Hmm. Yeah, that's
they don't have the draft capital to get from 15 to 3.
And the Cardinals wouldn't want to fall from.
He knows his brother isn't letting him get past him. He knows it. Hmm. There's no reason. Brother called him up and said, you're wasting your time. Use a visit on somebody else. You get 30 of them, use it on somebody else. I'm taking the kid at 4. We're brothers. I love you. You're wasting your time. Use the visit on somebody else.
Cue the evil laugh track.
Yeah.
Huh. Wow. Boy, that's funny because I thought the Las Vegas Review-Journal was reporting today that the Raiders have no interest in taking a quarterback. As we said when we talked about that, there's smoke this time of year. There's smoke and there's fire. And I thought that article saying, they're not going to take a quarterback. They're fine. That read to me like a lot of smoke. Like a lot of smoke and not a lot of fire, the idea that they wouldn't take a quarterback in this year's draft.
Yep, that is, I'm hearing that that's not true. That Gruden loves Murray. Loves Murray. Loves him. He's taking Murray if he's there at 4. And that could be
why. But does he love him enough to move up to
I don't know.
And does he love him enough to trump what Cardinals love might
loves him enough to call his brother and say, you're wasting your time to get a visit with him at 15. Back off.
That's fine.
Back off, bro.
But that love doesn't impact the Cardinals ultimately in their decision. All right, so he loves him enough to take him at 4. That's fine. But what does he love him enough to move up to 1? Does the Cardinals' love of him trump the Raiders' love of him? I mean, they're still, and I'm not grilling you, hounding you about, hey, well, how come you don't have these answers, for goodness sakes? I'm just saying that, okay, that's fine as it relates to the Redskins and the canceled visit, but what does that mean for the Arizona Cardinals? We still don't know.
I know. I'm trying to get you as much information as I can.
We still don't know.
And this is why, the brother. So you want to, why, you know, we're all speculating, why did Washington, why is the visit canceled with Washington? They're brothers.
Hmm.
Jay Gruden, John Gruden. He knows he's not. Told him he's not getting past me at 4.
He's been the assumed number one pick for weeks, but as we get closer to the NFL draft, there are some concerns coming out about Kyler Murray. Just how concerning are they? Or is it just typical pre-draft misinformation? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Ticket Window Tuesday opens now.
Can I get a number from you, John Gambadoro?
4, where the Raiders are picking.
Caller number 4 on this Ticket Window Tuesday, brought to you by, are you sure you don't want to make that 1? You sure you don't want to? I mean, because
I could have went draft simulation. We kept getting
It's going to change the Raiders pick. Where they're picking. It's going to change from 4-1. Are you sure you don't want to change it?
It could. Don't buy the fact that the Raiders don't like Murray. They love him.
Caller number 4 at 602-260-9870 on this Ticket Window Tuesday, brought to you by Arizona Central Credit Union. If you're caller number 4, you will score 2 tickets to the 9th annual Larry Fitzgerald Double Play Celebrity Softball Game. Again, that's caller number 4, 602-260-9870. If you're just tuning in your car, the reason why we're joking about the Raiders is this mystery visit that Kyler Murray was supposed to have with the Washington Redskins has been canceled. Steve Wyche has reported that he's no longer making the trip. And first of all, we can never understand why he was making the trip in the first place. And we were openly speculating as to why he might now have canceled that meeting. And you chimed in with the belief that maybe it's because John Gruden, the brother of Redskins coach Jay Gruden, called his brother and said, yeah, don't bother.
Hey.
Don't bother.
Save yourself the visit.
We're either going to pick him at 4 or we're going to trade up to get him. It's one or the other. So he ain't coming to you. So don't bother.
And he doesn't have the draft capital to get up to 3. He can't get to 3.
And the Raiders do. The Raiders.
The Redskins can't get to 3 with the Jets. So,
well, the Raiders might have the capital to get to 1, though.
But I'm saying the Redskins can't get from 15 to 3 to leapfrog the Raiders.
So, yeah.
So they can't get there to 3. So that's...
Anyway,
I
never understood why he was taking the visit in the first place. It never made any sense at all, and yet there it is. So with that as sort of our backdrop, and today Steve Keim and Cliff Kingsbury meeting with reporters, their pre-draft press conference in which, I don't want to say they didn't say anything. They certainly said some things, but they certainly didn't reveal any of the master plans or anything like that. In the midst of all that today, Sports Illustrated went deep dive in an article that's actually going to appear in their magazine, but I read online today.
They still have magazines?
They do still have magazines, yes.
The last time you got a sports magazine at the house?
I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I usually buy the preview magazines.
Do you?
Okay. I do, yeah. Like the MLB preview magazine. I want to have that in my hand, in my bag for a while. To me, that's just too much stuff to read online.
So like good to have the magazine.
The preview magazines I'll read, but that's about it. So they've got this long article about Kyler Murray, and specifically, it's sort of about... I'll just tell you what the article is titled. What does Kyler Murray really want?
Wants to play football.
You're sure there are people around the league who aren't sure.
There are people around the league who are
quoted in this as saying, we're not really sure that he wants to play football.
The A's offered him another $14 million to play baseball. He turned it down. Plus the $5 million that he already had. I mean, they literally included another offer and a spot on the 40-man roster to play baseball with an extra $14 million. And he turned it down. The kid wants to play football. I mean, now listen, I mean, Baker Mayfield last year, the number one pick, got $32 million guaranteed. So even with the A's offering an extra 14 on top of the 4.5, they're at $19
million. Mm-hmm.
If he's the number one pick, he's going to get more than $32 million guaranteed.
If he's the number one pick.
If he's the number one pick.
But by getting to 19, you got yourself into top 10 category if you're Major League Baseball. Top 10 money if you're...
And did he jump at the $19
million? No, he didn't, but that hasn't stopped anybody. And that hasn't even stopped Steve Keim. Here's the question he was asked today. Are there concerns about baseball with Kyler Murray?
I think whoever drafts him is certainly going to have to address that with him.
That's a yes. There's no other way to interpret that other than, that would be a concern. You need to address that with them. How else would I interpret that? That's a yes.
I think the only way that you have to address it with him is if things get off to a rocky start and you're not playing well after the first couple of years, are you going to bolt? Because at some point you might, like, if he's not playing well and it's not going well, he might just, I'm going to go play baseball because this isn't working out for me. Where a team might be like, look, we got to give this more time. And this is not easy to just jump in and be a great quarterback. You know, new coach, or new system, whatever it is, like, you need a little more time.
There are people around the league who believe that when you start negotiating, that before the draft, that if you're the Cardinals and before the draft, before you draft Kyler Murray, if that's in fact what you do, that you need to have hardcore language in the deal that says you are football only. Put it in writing. Get it in writing. Make sure it's understood from a legal perspective. You are football only. Do not leave it vague. Do not leave it open to interpretation. Do not give him that out.
Yeah.
Make sure he knows.
Yeah. So certain that you can't ride a motorcycle, you can't play baseball.
Yep. You're not going to play baseball. for as long as you're under contract with the Arizona Cardinals or whomever, the Oakland Raiders, the New York Giants, whomever the case may be, you are a football, not a baseball player, because we can't run the risk. Steve Keim was asked today, did you ask Kyler about baseball when you met him?
You met with Kyler. I mean, did you ask about the baseball concern? Was that an issue that was brought up?
Maybe.
Okay. Now, he doesn't want to get into the specifics of his conversation with Kyler Murray, and I get that. But again, I'm going to play this one again. Are there any concerns about baseball with Kyler?
I think whoever drafts him is certainly going to have to address that with him.
That's a yes.
Address it from the simple fact that if things are not going well, he might decide to play baseball. If things are going well, I can't see him leaving. Hey, you're playing well. You're making a ton of money. Do you see what Russell Wilson just got paid? $65 million guaranteed. Like, sure. There's a lot of money to be made for quarterbacks in this league. If he's good, he's going to stick with football. The only thing I would be concerned with, and very concerned with, is if it's not going well. Like, if he's not playing well, like, hey, first year, not that good. Second year, not that good. In his third year, could he say, you know what? I'm not a quarterback in the NFL. I made a mistake. I need to salvage my career before it's too late. I need to go play baseball.
That was what one executive in this story, unnamed, but one AFC executive said about the family, and the dad and the kid in particular. Quote, you look at people's history, and their past is a good indication of their future. And there's just a lot of changing minds with these guys. It's easy to be committed to football when you're the Heisman Trophy winner and your team's in the national playoff. But what about when you're playing for the Cardinals and you're getting beat to hell every week? Close quote. It's still a concern enough around the league. It's still a concern enough in the brief words of Steve Keim on the topic that if you're drafting Kyler Murray, it needs to be addressed. And by that, I'm assuming it means you've got to have language in the contract that says, no, you are playing football. And if they won't agree to that, that might be a sticking point for Kyler Murray. That might be a reason to not draft him. If you don't trust him, if you don't trust him not to change his mind, you got to be careful about that. You have to build in.
But what are you going to do if he stinks after 2 years and he wants to go play baseball? Are you going to prevent him from playing? I mean, he pays back a certain amount of money. Listen, this isn't working for me. I'm not good. I don't want to play anymore. My heart's not in it. I want to go to baseball. No, you have to play football. I mean, like,
but you can
have some language that allows you to get some money back.
Sure, but then what you need to make sure going in is that he doesn't have that in his mind as an escape hatch in case things aren't going well. You want to know that he is 100% committed to playing football, and he's not in the back of his mind thinking, well, if this doesn't work out, I'll just leave after 2 years. Because if that's what his thinking is...
But that has to be in the back of your mind.
But then he's not committed to your sport.
How many people...
Then he's not truly committed to being a football player and everything that it takes if in his mind he's got a backup plan.
No, most people, okay? Most people have backup plans in their careers. They do.
Yeah, but most
people have a backup plan.
Most jobs don't require... Well, I don't have a backup plan.
No, I'm completely screwed if this doesn't work out.
I'm basically looking at trash man.
Me too.
Well, there you go. You're 0-for-4 on the backup plan theory. Let's look around the Burns and Gambo show. Show of hands. Who's got a backup plan if this gig doesn't work out for you? Nobody's raising their hands. I got no backup plan. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm committed to this every day.
You guys all have educations.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting is because...
You got to go to school.
I bet... Burnsy and Jordan would say it's because they can't imagine themselves doing anything else. I know that's what I would say.
I don't know what else I would be good at. It's debatable whether I'm even good at this.
That is debatable. That's true.
It's debatable whether I can even do this gig.
We don't have another.
You're right. It is debatable.
Murray, yeah.
I'm being dead serious.
You completely miss that.
I don't know. Boy, this is going to sound great for any future prospective employers out there. I don't even know what else I'm qualified to do. I've been doing this my whole life. I don't know what else I can do. What else would I find a job in?
We don't have a baseball.
I could go back to New York and run the crime family.
Oh, yeah. We heard you were very good at that.
Like, I have that in the back of my pocket.
Well, are you looking for three runners? Because we're available.
No, I am not available. I'm not available to go join Gambo's extended mob family.
I thought the three of us would make quite a formidable mob duo. Burnsy, myself, and Sarah. That's an intimidating crew right there.
It really is.
I would be like a lieutenant. I would, I'd get top billing. No. I mean, full-blooded and everything.
But
I could hire you guys.
But back to the original point, that's the root of the concern. If he's going into this thinking, I got a backup plan if this doesn't work out. I don't want you to have a backup plan. I want this to be your plan A, B, C, D, E, F, all the way through X, Y, and Z.
Until it doesn't work. And then the plan change. But that doesn't show the kind of commitment the
teams are
going to want.
I don't know what you're expecting.
I'm expecting
him to sign a contract that says, I ain't playing baseball.
And he will.
Because if I'm drafting him,
and he will.
That's what I'm
but
expecting.
But what if he sucks after 2 years? He's going to want to play baseball.
Tough. He's got a contract that says he can't.
No.
Because that's what I'm going to want
you're
if
not
I'm gonna employing
want
him.
You're not, if he's miserable and it's not working out, you're not going to want him. You're going to let him go play baseball.
Russell Wilson has himself a new contract, but is the deal going to prevent the Seahawks from adding the right amount of talent around him? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Let's update that Twitter poll question of the day, and for that we turn it back over to Sarah Cazell here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update, presented by Sanderson Ford.
Golden State Warriors last night choked away a 31-point lead.
Yes.
7.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. They lost to the Clippers in NBA playoff action last night. So, Are we worried about this?
Yeah. So, with that loss and the fact that DeMarcus Cousins, with his injury to his left quad, he is out indefinitely. So, will he be back with the Warriors? We don't know yet. With that said, are we still confident that the Warriors will win the NBA title?
Yes, I am still confident they will.
I'm a little skeptical. I'm a little. I wouldn't be shocked if they don't win it. I wouldn't bet against them, but I wouldn't be shocked. There's a lot of problems going on, right? There were Kevin Durant's, is going to bolt. He's not happy. He had like 9 turnovers. They've had like 43 turnovers in the last 2 games, and I'm not sold on Golden State.
Well, 62% of our voters are. They're very much sold. 21% say they're skeptical now that this has unfolded. And 17% of our voters say Golden State wasn't their pick in the first place.
I wonder who their pick would have been in that regard. NBA playoffs will resume tonight. You'll hear the OKC-Portland game, I believe, here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station tonight with D-backs baseball on 620. So, one of our top stories of the day.
All my dreams.
Barry White.
I have this on my Spotify.
I don't doubt it. Listen to Russell Wilson last night. So his agent strikes a deal with the Seahawks a half hour before the self-imposed deadline. Congratulations, Russell. You're now the owner of a 4-year, $140 million contract. You get $65 million guaranteed. What's the first thing you do?
He goes to sleep.
You lie in bed with your beautiful wife, Sierra, and you tweet out last night video of the two of you laying there just kind of celebrating the deal in a calm, cool, casual kind of way.
Hey, Seattle, we got a deal.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. But I'm going to see y'all in the morning.
Good night.
Time for y'all to go to bed.
Finally, you can go to sleep.
See y'all in the morning.
Time for y'all to go
tell
to
you about
bed.
11 o'clock tonight, we should all tweet one out like that.
First, Kim.
Okay, well, okay.
Arizona.
Okay, here's
we got it together, didn't we?
Here's what mine would sound like. Hey, Arizona. Lying here in bed with my beautiful wife. She's watching Property Brothers on HGTV. And I'm about 5 seconds away from snoring so loud I'm going to wake up the neighbors. Thanks for listening to the Burns and Gambo Show. Catch you on the flip side tomorrow. What mine would sound like.
You know,
we've definitely got our family.
You know, Business Time by Flight of the Conchords? That's what you are right now.
Is that what I am right
yes.
now? I need to.
I will tweet the link to that song.
Please do. What would yours sound like?
I have no idea.
What would you?
I wouldn't be 2 seconds away from snoring. My wife would not be watching Property Brothers.
I just pulled back the curtain on my bedtime routine. Come on, Gambo. Share it.
My bedroom routine is a little bit different than your bedroom routine.
No, here's yours. Hey, Arizona, this is Gambo. Lying here in bed watching baseball highlights on my iPad.
Exactly.
Because my wife hates it when I bring my iPad to bed, but that's what I've gone and done.
I'm trying to break some news.
Baby, Mike Trout just hit a home run.
That licking going on is that's not my wife. That's my chihuahua. He's licking my nose right now. He's licking my head.
So Russell Wilson, let's get to the point here. Signs, and Sarah corrected me. It's $107 million guaranteed. It's $65 million signing bonus. Just the signing bonus is $65 million. 4 years, $140 million. And here's what Seattle just went and did. they just went and took away their own opportunity to re-sign their own guys. I mean, they want to sign Bobby Wagner to a deal. They want to sign Frank Clark to a long-term deal. When you go down this road with your quarterback, and look, this is what they had to do, but when you go down this road with your quarterback, you can't afford everybody you want to sign. You just can't.
Guy had 35 touchdown passes last year, a passer rating of 110.9. I mean, well, what options did they have? I mean, really, what options did they have? His initial contract doesn't expire until next season. Could have franchise tagged him a couple of years, but then you franchise tag him at $66 million over 2 years. So now you get him for 4 years for $65 million guaranteed. He's 30 years old. He's in the prime of his career. You've got an elite quarterback. You got to pay.
Yep.
I mean, that's it. I mean, if you have an elite quarterback, you got to pay for him.
Now,
that's
if you're Seattle, what you did avoid doing was giving him a structure that was revolutionary to NFL contracts, because there was some reports that that's what he wanted, that he wanted a deal that was tied to the percentage of the salary cap. And at least if you're Seattle, you agreed to a contract that is a typical structured contract in the NFL. Here's your contract. Here's your signing bonus. Here's your guaranteed money. And like I said, it's 107 guaranteed. It's $65 million signing bonus. It's 4 years, $140 million. But you're absolutely right. I mean, he is your franchise. He's the third highest passer rating in the league last year.
Right.
You've won a Super Bowl with him. What else are you supposed to let him walk? So you can go draft somebody and have him under contract for 5 years under a rookie scale?
Let me ask you a hypothetical question. Would you have traded the number one pick to Seattle for Russell Wilson?
If I were the Cardinals?
Yeah. Just a hypothetical. It's not happening. He saw me in Seattle. Seattle's like, you know what? We don't want to pay him $140 million. We'll take the first pick from him. Kyler Murray.
I would have.
Yeah, I would have too.
I would have.
You give me a 30-year-old role? I got him for 7 years?
Yep. I would have.
One of the best young quarterbacks in the game? I'll take him.
Yeah, I would have. Adam Schefter on Golic and Wingo this morning said, look, there just wasn't much of a market for trading him, even if they wanted to.
There was not a team out there that was willing to do all of that. Everybody loves Russell Wilson as a quarterback, but they don't love him enough to pay two different parties. When the Bears did it for Khalil Mack, everybody has a need for a pass rusher. Everybody. And there wasn't a team out there right now. I mean, give me a team right now that would be willing to sacrifice his draft position and pay the guy. Tell me the team and I'll blow it up for you.
Well, I guess we just gave him the Arizona Cardinals. They might have been willing to do it, but it wasn't going
to
happen.
It's crazy to think that nobody would do that. Russell Wilson's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. You don't know what you're getting with any of these draft picks. I mean, you don't. I mean, you get it. Listen, when you get a quarterback like that, you don't feel bad paying him because you know the guy's great. If you know he's great, you don't feel bad paying him.
So here's your next up guys for quarterbacks who could be extensions for candidates this offseason.
So Dak Prescott, right?
Tom Brady, Philip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff.
What is Mahomes going to get? Oh, my God. That's $40 million a year.
If Russell Wilson's 35.
$40 million a year.
What
Patrick
is Mahomes?
Holmes.
Yeah, and that's you talk about this. Okay, look at this. June 2016, just 3 years ago, Andrew Luck broke the mold at 24.6. A year later, it was Derek Carr at 25, Stafford at 27, Garoppolo at 27.5, Cousins at 28, Matt Ryan at 30.
It's not
Aaron
going
Rodgers.
Down, is it?
No, it's not going down. Mm. And it's not. It's going up fairly steadily and not over a real long period of time. From June 16 to April 19, 2019.
$10 million.
It's gone up $10 million
wow.
per year, average per year.
Mahomes is going to get 40.
Yep. The Dodgers have dominated the division for years.
The hell with the Dodgers.
The way this season is shaping up, this division might be kind of wide open for everybody, including the Diamondbacks. That's next on the Burns and
the
Gambo
Dodgers.
Show. Hey, Arizona. Lying here in bed with my beautiful wife. She's watching Property Brothers on HGTV. And I'm about 5 seconds away from snoring so loud I'm going to wake up the neighbors. The second inning. Diamondbacks and the Atlanta Braves are scoreless right now. Robbie Ray on the bump for the D-backs. You can hear this game on ESPN 620, though I promise you we will keep you completely updated if anything happens in this game that you need to know about. Robbie Ray, what did he have? Five pitch.
First inning, and then he just threw like eight pitches to Acuna to start the second.
Wow.
And walked him.
it was
short-lived.
Hey, it was fun while it lasted.
Five-pitch inning. Oh, my God, he's going to go eight innings. And then he like just literally threw like eight pitches to the next batter.
It was fun while it lasted as the Diamondbacks are opening up a big 10-game road trip starting with this three-game series in Atlanta, a road trip that Shory Lovello told us earlier here on Burns and Gambo for his weekly visit. This was one they had circled when the schedule came out.
A few road trips for the year, and this was one that I had seen, and it stuck out to me. It was going to be a three-city tour against two playoff teams, tough venues to play in. The third had a tremendous year and finished pretty strong last year, so I knew that this was going to be a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah, a tough road trip for him.
You got four guys in this lineup that are hitting 300. I mean, you got Freeman's hitting 300 and Acuna's hitting 300 and Dansby Swanson's leading that team in RBIs with 18. I mean, this is a pretty good ball club. I mean, this is tough. Now, they almost got swept by the Padres, but they didn't. They were able to salvage that final game and get on the board. But when I look at this division, I'm seeing Colorado really struggling right now. I'm seeing the Giants struggling. I'm seeing the Dodgers. They're okay. I mean, they're okay. Got Kershaw back now, but you know they don't look like world beaters out there. I'm wondering what it will take to win this division. I don't right now. Early indications are that nobody's going to run away with this division. It's early.
I mean, I'm like, look at the teams. Okay, I'm looking at
Colorado's
the standings
lost
right
like
now.
Eight in a row, right?
They're 5-12 on the season. But like, look at the teams that are leading by far their division right now. The American League East: Tampa Bay's 12-4. Everybody else is sub 500. Do we really think that's going to last?
They're 5.5 games up on everybody. They're going to be in first place for at least the next 2 weeks.
But are they going to run away with
No,
they're not. You know, the Seattle Mariners are 13-6. Are they going to run away with the American League West? No, not with the Houston Astros in that division. It's early. I will agree with you that right now in the NL West, everybody's relatively bunched together. But I'm going to circle back to something I said yesterday after watching that Padres series. So far, after 16 games of Diamondbacks baseball, I haven't seen much of anything that would lead me to believe that this team is capable of being much more than a 500 team this
right.
year. Right. And I really believe that.
I don't disagree with that.
I haven't seen anything that has made me go, ooh, you know, on second thought, I might have been wrong about the Diamondbacks this year. Not yet.
But the question becomes, okay, last year the Dodgers won the division with 92 wins.
Mm-hmm.
92. The question really becomes, what can you win this division with? You know, that's what I wanted.
Well, that's part of the question.
Can you win this division with? Can this division be won with 87 wins?
Sure, but are the Diamondbacks capable of getting to 87 wins? That's the other question.
I don't think so.
Right. And that's the question that's the other side of the coin to your question. On the one side of the coin, how many wins will it take to win this division? It might only be 91 or 92. It might be 87 or 88. But are the Diamondbacks a team capable of getting to that number? I don't think so.
Here's what I don't want. I don't want the false impression that they're in this thing when the trade deadline comes around when they're really not. Because I do think that this is the year to move Greinke. I think this is the year to move the contract. Let him pitch well. Let a contender say, you know what? A lot of that contract's paid for. A lot of it. It's only 2 years left. I'll take him for the final 2 months this year and then 2 years. It's fine. And, you know, because... You know, when teams are looking at, you know, at trying to win a World Series, you might look at a guy like Zach Greinke and say, okay, I can line him up as my number two pitcher. Gives me a much better chance to win. I want to win a World Series. He could be a guy that could help me. So that's what I'm looking for. I don't want the false impression that they're in it if they're really not. Either be in it or don't be in it.
That is a very astute observation. And I would hope for the same thing.
Yeah, and I don't know what other guys could be moved, but say Greg Holland pitches really well. Say Greg Holland pitches really well. Okay, closers, you know this. You've seen this. Man, how many relief pitchers get dealt at the deadline?
Sure, we'll say this guy pitches real well. Say Robbie Ray pitches real well. You're going to get a boatload for him.
You could get a boatload for him.
If he's pitching well, lefty with that stuff, with what, 2 years left of control? Right?
Yes.
Before he's a free agent? You could get a boatload in return for him if you were so inclined to do it. But I totally agree with you. What I hope.
But Adam Jones could be traded. It's on a 1-year deal.
Sure.
Greg Holland could be traded. So you look at the guys that they brought in on one-year deals. Some of those guys could be moved for a prospect or
sure,
two.
Absolutely.
You know, if they're playing well.
But I would agree, and I think it's, like I say, it's a very astute observation. What I want to make sure happens over the next couple of months is clarity. I want, and not that that means I want them to bomb out, but I want to know going into July where we stand about how good the Diamondbacks actually are. And if the record is such that it's providing some false level of hope about, well, they're hanging in there. We all know they're really not that good, but man, they're hanging in there because the division is so soft. That might convince them to keep Zach Greinke when in reality this might be the season to move a Zach Greinke. And I hope whatever happens, their real nature is exposed by July so they can go into that trade deadline with their eyes clear and know exactly what they want to do.
Right, because last year they gave up like 9 prospects in the organization to try to add some relief pitchers to try to help them win.
Mm-hmm.
When they went out and they got Diekman and Ziegler and Andreese, and they ended up giving up 9 players, 9 prospects in the organization. Mm-hmm. Not the greatest, but you know, some
not the
decent,
greatest. Yeah,
you know, so you don't want to. Yeah, you don't want to be in that position because it didn't work out.
You also asked Troy Lovello. First of all, he said, look, it was very important not to get swept by the San Diego Padres.
But you don't want to lose 4 games at home to the same team, let alone somebody within your division. That's humble pie. And I feel like the three one-run losses that we had were tough. But we had some identifiable things inside of those games where we could improve upon and hopefully turn around and win some one-run games. It'd be nice to go and win run games on the road. I think that's a sign of a really, really good
but
team.
But specifically, you asked him if there was any bad blood between the Diamondbacks and the Padres, given what transpired over the weekend with Holland and Escobar and Andy Green, what he said about the umpires. Here's what Lovello said.
No, I don't think so. None whatsoever. We know that they're a good team. I know they feel the same way about us, and that's just the spirit of competition. You know, it's where guys get out there and they want to do their best, and things don't work out. They get a little bit frustrated, and sometimes that frustration shows. And you know, I don't think the Padre players were throwing at our guys by no means in a one-run game. Would they be reacting that way and doing that? But you could see visibly the frustration that our players had, and that's just the nature of the beast, and that's just sometimes where it takes you.
You know what he didn't say? I know the Padres players weren't throwing at our guys, and I know we weren't throwing at their guy. He didn't say that.
No, he didn't say that.
He didn't put that in there.
No.
I know the Padres players weren't throwing at our guys, and I know Holland wasn't throwing. No, he didn't say that. No, we were throwing at him. We were throwing at him. Yep. We threw 2 balls to him and tried to get him, and we weren't able to get him.
Although he did try to say that the other day after it happened. I don't know. I need to go back and look at the tape, look at the location.
Who was the Diamondback pitcher? You might remember this. Who was the Diamondback pitcher 5, 6, 7 years ago that tried to hit somebody and failed so miserably? So miserably. It was awful.
I can't recall.
Missed him by a mile, and he threw it, and that was the debate because he went after him twice and he missed both times.
Well, that was the debate we had in the moment. I can't recall.
Was it Trevor Cahill? Was it?
It sounds like something Trevor Cahill would do, doesn't it?
Who was the?
That I don't remember. I don't remember. Sorry.
I think it was under Gibby. I'll text Kirk Gibson and
see
who
he knows. The narrative is the Cardinals don't want him and have moved on to Kyler Murray. But after hearing from the front office today, is Josh Rosen here to stay? You be the judge next on the Burns and Gambo Show.